So, John, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Right. So, I'm an unusual case because I was born in Liverpool, England.
Okay.
I actually spoke Suran before I spoke English. Yeah.
So what's Suran?
Suran is Suran? One of the oldest American Indian languages. Suran. Okay. You have Cherokee, you have Suran, you have Navajo. There's many, many of them. Yeah.
Okay.
But I speak one of the oldest languages.
Yeah. So it's spoken by Sioux people?
By Sioux, yeah.
Sioux, okay.
Okay. So my grandmother taught me the language. Mm-hmm. I didn't seem much interested in learning English at the time. It's always been very much inside of me, Manny. It's very deep inside of me. It's been in my heart since I was born. Mm-hmm. I remember my mum and grandmother arguing over me speaking English. I wouldn't speak it.
Okay.
And she said to my grandmother, "Stop teaching him American Indian. He'll never speak English." Mm-hmm. And I spoke my first English words at 3 years old.
Okay.
I went, "Will you two stop fighting? I'll speak English when I feel like it." Hey.
So you spoke that, eh?
I spoke it straight out. I knew how to speak it very well. I just didn't speak it. Hey. So my ancestry comes from one of the oldest chiefs, which is Red Cloud, which is the only chief to defeat the American army in history.
And what was that year?
That was, he reigned from 18 something, excuse me, to 1916. Yeah.
So it was like late 19th century?
Very early, yeah. So it's the Battle of Little Bighorn. One of the most famous.
The Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Colonel Custer.
Yeah. So Colonel Custer was the opposite American guy who
which
was
would be,
that.
In today's standard, as you know, Australian Special Forces. It would be American Special Forces at the time.
At that time, okay.
At the time, yeah. So they were absolutely, they call it Colonel Custer's last stand as white men. We don't. We call it Dead Man's Canyon, yeah,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't even get to fire a shot. Hey.
So it was so quick.
It was so quick. The Indians were ready for them.
Okay.
It was a ratio of like 1,400 Indians on the first flank,
mm-hmm.
and there was a hill behind them of Indians still to come against 260 cavalry. Didn't even get into position.
Okay.
So they rose straight after our women and children to try and capture them. Yeah.
Shit.
Because they realized they were in trouble. Yeah.
Okay.
And the stories that I've been told is that our arrows blotted out the sun. Hey,
so many.
There were so many. We actually communicated with one another by smoke signals.
Okay.
That's how we brought so many Indians together.
Okay. Yeah.
So there was a ratio of something like 140 Indians to one American. That was that's how many we had.
And yeah. American Indians didn't have guns.
Yeah, we had better guns than they had. Yeah.
Okay.
But we still chose to fire our arrows. Yeah.
Okay.
Our women would do weaving, make blankets,
yes,
and we would sell them back to the Americans. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we actually had better guns than they had because we'd purchased them.
Okay. That's very good.
Yes, but we still chose to use our natural way of fighting,
mm-hmm.
which the American Indians is called shock and awe.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe, yeah.
Okay.
So it's what you would hear when you hear it, the Indians go, "Oh, la, la, la," and they're coming from everywhere.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shock and awe. You don't even know what's happening. It's a surprise attack.
Okay.
The Americans still use it today in part of their military. They still use
that. So they adopted it.
They adopted it. And they used it in the Iraq War, right?
Mm-hmm.
against the Iraqis. They used it in the Gulf War. They've used it in most of their wars. They've used shock and awe because they got defeated with it.
Mm-hmm.
The mistake the American Indians made was they took the American flag and burnt it in one of the major cities. We burnt the American flag. Okay. Yeah. And that was our demise.
So when you burned the flag, a whole nation like stood up against us.
The atrocities are probably the worst known in history. The white man of today from America, as we would call the Yankees, the Yankees still apologize to me on Google Plus today. For the atrocities of their forefathers,
okay.
because they used cyanide, they stole our children, they cut all our hair, they made our language illegal to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone in my situation, where I can actually speak Oglagasha very clearly, it's very rare. There's people my age in America that can't speak as clearly as me. in American Indian. So when I go to America, I will actually be teaching them part of their language back, because my grandmother left at such a young age with my mum, still in pup, you know. So my mum was born in England, but come from America with my grandmother. So she's...
So how did your grandmother and your mother came from...
The Cold War was on. My grandfather took my grandmother on, but she wasn't my real grandfather, because her husband had been killed in battle.
Okay. So this guy was a white man?
He's a white man, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Spike, they called him. Very nice Spike. Man, Spike.
So he adopted your
family? He adopted my family. Took her back to England. Because an American, a redskin squaw is to us, that's a woman that sells their body for money. That's what a squaw is. Mm-hmm. That's what the definition of squaw.
Okay.
The real word for a female is tunti. Yes, I can't explain to you why, the way we speak, because we've got the oldest uncoded language in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been broken.
Yep.
That's why they call the Navajos the wind talkers. Yes, the wind talkers.
It was used widely in the World War.
Absolutely. And still used today. Even today, nobody can break our. There's a special way of our speaking that's uncoded, that we've kept very secret.
How many people in the world speak this language?
Well, only American Indians. We're the only ones. There's been heaps of people tried. Heaps of historians have tried to break our code. There's 200,000 different dialects of American Indians speaking. 200,000
different dialects.
Yeah. So the minute that white man gets close to understanding what we're saying, we change our dialect. And we still manage to understand one another.
Okay.
Which is incredible.
So it means your language is highly, highly rich.
Highly rich and very, very spiritual. Mm-hmm. Very spiritual. It's more than just the words that are being spoken. And this proves it. It proves that for centuries and centuries, we've managed to keep our own language coded through God knows how many different historians that have tried to break our code of language. They've never broke it. And we've still managed to keep it sacred, which I think is a phenomenal truth.
So it means you guys don't teach it to anyone who is not from your tribes or whatever?
No. I can teach four words, is what my grandmother told me. You never teach more than four words.
It's only to your own people you teach?
Only to my children, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And teach them how and why it's said a particular way, without giving too much of the language away. There's a secret to the language, and it's the first thing I learned, in speaking was this secret, and
so this has always been like this.
It has always been like this.
So why was it so, like, before the white man comes to
because according to you may say it's American Indian stories, whichever white man wishes to perceive that it's American Indian stories, we don't see it that way. This is our elders have passed us to the elders, It's been passed from our forefathers, generation to generation. We must teach our young continuously this that we know.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched white men destroy themselves 5 times, and white men never remembers it.
Okay.
They come back like infant babies again.
Yep.
But we remember. We remember what goes down.
Mm-hmm.
They continually demise their own destruction. And they are doing it again. And they will do it again.
This has happened 5 times.
This has happened 5 times. It's happened right around the world. Right around the world.
Around the world.
Yep. They've called it a dozen things. They've said... the day the lights went out, they've called it the Big Bang Theory. They don't actually remember how they demise themselves. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the Mayans, The Mayans are one of the most intelligent races ever born on the planet, They were actually killing themselves because they were throwing bodies into the drinking water as offerings to the gods and brought themselves down quicker, as we know the story, sacrifices. We learned off that, but we've been around for as long as, American Indians have been around for a long, long time. We remember, we've watched white men destroy themselves and we've watched them reborn again. And every single time, many 200 years ago, they thought this earth was flat.
Yeah. Maybe 300 or 400, whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't know that.
They didn't know that. How do you go back so infant-like? Hey, it's only 200 years. Hey, we've got hundreds and thousands of years of history that have been passed down to us.
And you knew that earth is round.
And we knew the earth was round. Hey, we've seen what is a very old story to American Indians is the arrival of the blue star. The blue star in the horizon, which is the end of... It doesn't wipe out white man. Same as the Mayans never said the apocalypse would wipe out mankind. They said it would affect mankind. Mankind would have to learn to adapt and change.
Okay.
Yeah. And higher ground, and they speak in the Bible of Noah and the floods and all the rest of it. It all comes down to the simple thing that they did not teach their children about the apocalypse that can be forecome them. We all know. We all know about it.
So it has come many times.
It's come many times. American Indians have taught us. Hey, I didn't have a great chief stand and tell me what went down. I knew it in here and in here. Hey. And then verified it as my life went on. Everything that I thought and believed was proven to be true to me. So I actually had all the knowledge and then had it to prove to myself that what I knew was correct. And it has been proven to me that once again. Yeah.
But I don't understand one thing. Like, why did you have to keep your language secret? Like, white men only came to, like, Americas 500 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Before that, you didn't have any external enemies or anything?
No.
It was just like American Indians over there?
Yeah.
You still kept it secret. Like, well, what's the reason?
Because it goes back well beyond 500 years ago.
So they were enemies before then?
Well before. That's not in history. Yeah.
So what sort of enemies?
So exactly the same. Exactly the same. Christopher Columbus had come more than 500 years ago. It happened 5,000 years ago. It happened 65,000 years ago.
Many times white man has
come to this many land. Times white man has destroyed themselves and come back infant-like. We've kept our knowledge all the way through. That's why we're so spiritual. We've taught our young, it's carried on. They've taught their young, it's carried on. White men 200 years ago think the earth's flat. They taught them nothing. Hey, 5,000 years ago, they built pyramids. Hey,
yep.
And then 200 years ago, they thought the earth was flat. Hey,
it doesn't make any sense.
Hey, what makes sense is that the American Indians kept teaching their children. They teach the young. It's in all our writings. You must teach your young, teach your young, teach your young. I've dreamt of a prophecy that happens. I'm now a great American chief. I'm Chief Two Sons now. I'm now an American chief.
Yep. And how many years did it take you to become the chief?
27 years of fighting. 27 years of fighting with them. Because I'm the first half-caste, as an American would say, a yellow belly. Okay. A yellow belly chief, because I have white man in me.
Okay.
So I'm half white man.
So did you have to fight with your own people to get this?
I had to fight with my own people to be recognized for who I am.
Okay.
When I said to them that I have lived a white man's life, I've been raised in a white man's world, this doesn't change anything from the people that I come from, because yous have done the same. You have been dragged into a white man's world. It was illegal for you to speak your own language. I speak better than you speak. I've held on to what we had. So that means that I've listened to my forefathers in my heart, in my mind.
So, like, in relation to your language, and so you learned this language
from my grandmother. Yeah.
For 27 years, you had to fight with your own people to get yourself recognized.
Yeah.
So, when you go to America, like, will you go this year or like next year? Like, what's happening?
I will go when I feel that I know what I'm doing. When I go, I know a lot about history and I know a lot about the past. I need to learn more about my people today and how they've intermingled with white people. I need to learn more about the reservations. I need to learn more about white modern American India today. Not yesterday, but about today. And I have been reading, there's only so much information you can find. But the last thing I want to do is go to America without a purpose. Hey, I need to have a purpose, or else there's no point in me going. Hey, I'm just going for my own benefit. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I need to go with a purpose.
Hey. So you were talking about a prophecy that you...
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, so that I know that when I go, I'm going to add to our culture, hey, and I'm going to help teach our children
mm-hmm.
what's been going on. And I can't go there without the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to find. The American government is still removing stuff off YouTube. As quick as we put it on there, American government removes it. Especially towards the atrocities that happened, you know, even like though. The genocide and, yeah. I've got some incredible things off YouTube that have already been removed.
Mm-hmm.
And the link sent to me by the Oglala Shah Council.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made me an Oglala Lakota chief. It doesn't make no difference what chief they want to make me.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the Dakota Plains. It's still the Red Cloud family,
mm-hmm.
which we've looked after the Dakota Plains for hundreds and thousands of years. So it goes way, way back. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite funny, you know, your name is given to you at birth. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Dakota is also famous for the bison.
Yes.
Why bison?
Sitting Bull. We all know about Sitting Bull. He was never a chief.
Mm-hmm.
He was a leader. There's a difference. Hey?
Mm-hmm.
He was a Siouan leader.
Mm-hmm.
Or in English, a Sioux, say, is called
yeah,
Sioux.
So
he was only a Sioux leader. He was never a chief. He was just a general in that respect as a warrior. But he was never actually a chief.
Mm-hmm.
But it took the three chiefs to end the war. It was my great-grandfather, Red Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
There was Sitting Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the one that finally ended it. Was High Horse, Chief High Horse. Yeah.
Okay.
As you know, we've heard in many of the English statements, get down off your high horse. It comes from that.
Comes from there.
He approached the American government back in 1916, I think it was, mm-hmm. and said, there is now 2% of your indigenous culture left. Do you wish to keep fighting or do you wish to preserve what is left?
Okay.
And they went, whoa, hey, and started protecting the 2% that was left, hey, before they completely wiped out their history, hey, which is us.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. 2% left. So they had managed to wipe out 98% of us.
Your population, your culture, everything?
Everything. The whole lot was completely gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's same in Australia, that the same thing that is in Australia.
They're doing the same to the Aboriginals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the Aboriginals are partly their own demise as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't believe in any type of incest. It doesn't matter to them. So they're breaking their own bloodlines. Yeah.
Yep.
By the incest in their
yep.
their culture. I think mortality rate for Aboriginals when I first started studying in my early teens
mm-hmm.
was 21. Hey, it's now it's 21 years old was their mortality rate.
That's all they had.
It's now 44 years old.
Still it's not good.
Still very young. Yeah, still mm-hmm. very young. We're still up in the 60s and 70s, eh? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Like, there is no comparison between Aboriginals and American Indians.
No,
because you guys put up a fight over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, like, you are, like, considerable force over there. And absolutely. Government has to recognize you guys.
We actually come to Australia 90 years ago and started helping. We're the ones that started Mabo, believe it or not. The American Indians started Mabo.
So you're not the only American Indian in Australia. There are a lot of others.
They've come many times, eh? They've come many times. But me trying to find another American Indian...
It's very difficult.
I may as well have purple skin. Eh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's how I feel.
So you guys like came here through the European powers or like you have been coming here previously also?
We've come here previously to help the Australian Aboriginals because we haven't wanted to see them demise and destroy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We've come here many times.
So your like history... between like Australia and America goes
way, way back.
Thousands of years back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if you look up on YouTube, and the Americans don't like to say it, the oldest fossil that's ever been found in America is a skull.
Skull.
It's believed to be 5 million years old.
5 million years old.
And you would not believe what the study came out as. It's an Australian Aboriginal.
Over there, in America.
In America. The oldest fossil ever found.
That's very strange.
That's very strange, isn't it? Yeah. So that says that an Australian Aboriginal discovered America. But you think they're ever going to tell that? They'll never say that.
It's not in the record and nobody...
No, but that's right.
Can believe it.
They can't believe it.
But these days people believe what's written or if they see it.
Yeah.
And if it's not written, it's not documented, nobody believes it.
Nobody believes it, yeah. Whereas ours is taught, doesn't need to be documented.
It's oral.
It's all, spiritual and oral. Yeah.
And it used to be the same way in India, like with Sanskrit and Vedas and all that.
Absolutely.
It used to be
oral. Yeah.
It's only like a few thousand years back or maybe 100 years back or something.
They've actually started to document.
They started writing.
Yeah.
Before that, it was completely oral.
Yeah. And that's what I need to learn now, Manny, is what's been wrote now by the American Indians and what's been remembered, you know? Because I know that I'm a very old soul, old soul with my teachings.
You also told me about your previous birth and all that, and...
Because
when you were young, you remember a lot of things from your previous birth.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we believe very much in reincarnation for our spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, so I believe I'm in my fifth spirit.
You are what?
I'm in my fifth spirit now. I'm my same spirit, my fifth life.
Fifth life. Yeah. In the same, like, tribe or the same, like, culture?
Same culture, but I've changed many times, I've been Italian, I've been Russian, I've been English, but I've had American Indian me all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because I started off as an American Indian chief.
Okay.
It's only this fifth life I've come back and I've become an American Indian again. But a half caste, I've had to fight so hard. You know, I couldn't have just been simply born an American Indian, but I was originally an American Indian.
Okay. But Your first birth was as an American, man.
As a man, yeah.
And do you remember like how many years back it happened?
Oh, yeah, many years, many years. I was around well before the ones that I've learned from. I was one of the ones in my first life giving the advice, to what I'm learning now, which is very funny, but it's part of your spiritual growth.
And that's why it helped you to learn this language so quickly?
So quickly, so fast, right? And so so spot on. I'm so spot on. I'm even better than some of the American Indians today speaking. And they said, "Where did you learn that word from?" And I said, "I already knew it." And they said, "We haven't heard that word for hundreds of years." And I said, "Well, it's the way that I was taught to speak and it's what I remember." It's very funny that that can be that way. It's amazing, actually.
It is.
So it is amazing that.
It is.
Yeah.
Very amazing.
Yeah.
Like in Hindu culture, even in Sikhism, we recognize.
Yeah.
Like reincarnation, previous births, and all that.
Yeah.
And soul never dies.
It just moves.
It changes bodies and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But whatever the soul learns, it goes with it.
It goes with it, yeah. Yep. Exactly. And the spirit grows,
Yep.
And we believe that you have three lives.
As a human.
As a human, yeah.
Okay.
With the same spirit.
Okay.
You choose to come back the fourth and fifth time.
After that, it's your choice.
It is your choice.
If you have unfinished business or something.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody has three lives. For the power of the spirit.
Okay.
We then believe that you come back for the fourth and finally the fifth if you choose to. Okay. I'm in my fifth life. I've chose to come back twice.
Okay.
So that when I go to the Great Spirit, my spirit is powerful. It took me a long time to realize as I grew in my life that this was all true. It's been proven to me time and time again. In the last decade, two decades, I've just been like, wow, yeah, I can feel all this. It's all right. It's all correct. I'm not insane. I haven't lost my plan. This is all correct. Right down to meeting Craig. I told Craig, I said, you're a fourth spirit. And he goes, how do you know that? I said, because I'm a fifth spirit. And he
also knew this?
He knew this. He knew that he chose to come back.
But you found him out and he was surprised.
Yeah, and he was surprised. He said, how do you know that? I've always sort of known that I chose to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you did choose to come back, but you stayed back in 1920, Craig. You forgot to move on with it. You changed, you stayed in your last body, basically, eh?
Yes, yes.
In your last mind. You forgot to get with the times, man, eh? You forgot to go to 2017. Mm-hmm. You're still back in 1920.
Yes.
And he is, eh? And he won't change, and he knows that he'll live his life out like that.
Yep.
And I've asked him, I said, so when you're giving the decision again this time, are you coming back for the fifth time? He's like, no way, man. Hey.
It's too hard, eh?
That's too hard. This one was enough, eh?
No.
You know? So I was only 2 weeks old and I got struck down with meningitis.
Okay.
Meningitis attacks the central part of your brain, which is the spiritual, the spiritual part of your brain. Yeah. So at 2 weeks old, bang. Income meningitis, eh? Back in hospital, nearly died. Yeah. So there's been a big block of spirituality in my head for all my whole life, eh? But it hasn't managed to stop me, many, eh? I've overrode it, eh? Okay. I've got above it, eh? My healing powers have been there nonstop, eh? You know?
You reckon you have been completely healed now?
I've been completely healed of epilepsy and I've been, you know, which is an incredible thing. Craig healed me. Craig helped heal me.
Okay.
The two forces together, we removed my epilepsy. Doctors couldn't believe it. They were like, it's gone. I said, what do I do with my medication? They said, I'll throw it away. I said, so you're actually telling me to stop taking epilepsy medication? They said, yes, it's completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
I was told about 2 months ago. I said, well, wow, that's incredible. And that was Craig and I together, two healers. Craig's always been scared to use his healing powers because he's never wanted to be a spectacle about people.
People observe him and all that.
Absolutely.
Make fun or take something strange about him and all that.
And I said, Craig, you've been giving it for a reason. I've done a few things with Craig that he's unaware of yet, but he'll work it out later on in life, eh?
Okay.
I've gave him a few bracelets, I've gave him a few necklaces, I've gave him some feathers. Didn't matter what item I gave him, it's what I've done with them. And, you know, because it's time for me to slow down, Manny. I'm getting tired, eh? I've been healing people all my life. I've been removing headaches, I've been taking away pain, I've been... You know, I'm getting tired, eh? And I can feel it inside myself, eh? I can feel it draining me the more I'm healing people. I'm getting
so very, you're taking people's troubles on you.
I'm getting very, very tired, eh? And so, you know, it's time to concentrate on me, eh? And in an unselfish way, but it's just time to back off. And I feel as if I passed a lot of my power to Craig, eh?
You taught him a lot of things.
I taught him a lot of things, eh? He's just done
so
some...
So this know, like healing thing that you're talking about, is it like shamanic?
It's a funny thing. It comes through your hands.
Yep, Reiki.
And it's similar to Reiki.
Yeah, it's an energy that you have in
but your it's body an energy spirit. That it, you feel it as you're healing. It comes into you and it's a power. It's a power that cannot be explained.
Yeah.
It's beyond my comprehension, you know, even in explanation, I couldn't explain it. It's just a power that comes in you, and you come, it goes from your mind, it goes through your heart, and it comes out through your fingertips. And the person you're healing must believe in you, and you must believe in yourself that you can heal. Craig done an amazing thing when he went to Melbourne last week, and this lady had shingles, and in the middle of the street, he actually managed to hold her face and all the redness disappeared in front of people. And I said, this is where you have to be careful, Craig.
Not in front of people.
Not in front of people, like to that extent. You know, remember the old days of where they burnt witches and, people are scared of spirituality.
Yep.
Remember
they
that.
They still are.
And they still are.
Yep.
They're scared of the unknown. Yeah. You know,
like even Christ healed people with his hands.
Yes.
A lot of messengers of God or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Even our religious teachers, our gurus, healed people.
Heal people.
Just by looking at people, by touching them and all that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Exactly the same. I mean, gurus, that was a beautiful way of saying it. We were medicine men.
Yep.
Was only the chief saying. Yeah, the medicine men. Craig's looked very deeply into the medicine wheel, and he said, do you know how to work that? And I said, it's not about knowing how to work it, hey, hey, it's about how we join together, hey. And he's starting to understand. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, I've got it.
Yep.
I said, it's not something that you can teach. Hey, this isn't something that can be wrote down. Can't be taught. Hey, no, yeah, no, no, it can be passed on.
To the right person.
To the right person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, in the beginning of this year, I met like a woman, she does Reiki and natural therapy and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And she and her husband, we met at a shopping center.
Yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah.
I visited her at her house and they did a Reiki session on me.
Yeah.
So she did the Reiki with her hands and her husband also joined her.
Yeah.
It was like 45 minutes and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And after that, my body was like fired up. It was so much heat and I had to sleep for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
I had a bath and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
My body became hot. There was so much energy that they put into me.
Yeah.
And they also did some like shamanic.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like Red Indian or maybe like something of in Central Asia. They have this sort of thing, shamans over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
He had a drum and feathers and all that and did all the sounds and everything.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Never had this sort of experience.
No, no.
And the relief that I got from it, I couldn't get from any medicine.
No, you couldn't, no. No, incredible. Yeah. Because they have the ghost weed, or what they call the ghost weed, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Aboriginals are very similar in their healing, where they sing you to health. Yeah. Hey. We're not quite as primitive as, but we still sing, eh?
Yeah.
We still sing to health.
Like there is a belief in my religion also in Sikhism.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you are reading and reciting Guru Granth, singing.
Yeah.
If you do it like 2.5 hours every day.
Yeah, yeah.
It can heal a lot of things.
Exactly.
It can heal you. It can heal you, your environment, your family and everything.
Right, yeah.
Like, they say that, how do they say it in Punjabi? Basically, it means that Guru Granth is the remedy for all miseries, all diseases, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
The basic thing is sound.
Sound, absolutely.
Because when you're reciting, you're making a specific sort of sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That heals.
Yeah, heals.
And people have been healed of cancers and all these different diseases.
Different things, yeah.
But
yeah.
Then if they had to do this sort of thing, they had to do it continuously, or 24 hours a day, something of that sort.
Yeah. And the more sound, the more you bring together, the more power you generate. Yep. That's right. That's how we believe the Great Spirit is, which the white man calls God. Eh?
Yep.
We call Great Spirit.
Yep.
One day maybe we'll all understand that we're all brothers.
Yeah, it is.
And we're all worshipping the same Great Spirit.
In Sikhism, they believe that the whole world is... It comes from the same source.
Yeah, same source. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's why we're very similar in our reincarnation that we believe in.
Yep.
It's because you can't get that power from one lifetime.
No,
you need more than one lifetime, and then you join the Great Spirit, the great entity of spirits, the ones that never become powerful enough to join, end up in what white man I think they call it. And what do white men call it? Purgatory. They call it purgatory.
Yes.
It's a nothing. Your spirit was never powered, didn't get powerful enough to join the Great Spirit because you can't weaken it. You can't join it. There's no level you can join it because it's a too weak a spirit. And unfortunate for that spirit that it's nowhere.
Spirit is like always strong. It's the corruption that's put on that spirit.
Absolutely.
When you suppress your spirit and you are living a materialistic sort of life, and you don't believe in the spirit, but you believe in the spirit, this materialistic world, and the spirit is suppressed.
Is suppressed, exactly.
And then it can't do the thing that it wants to do.
It's like all these spiritualists that believe that they can leave their body and soul travel and all the rest of it.
Yep.
There is a reason we have blood in our body, and that's so the spirit can't cross it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we believe our body is filled with blood. That blood is a retainer of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot cross the blood. The only time your spirit can escape is when you have died and your blood has dried.
Only then.
That's only then can your spirit escape. Which is
so when a person dies, even after a few days, spirit is there.
His spirit is still there.
When the body completely dies, then it...
Then you are free of the flesh and blood.
That period, I think it's a lot of pain over there.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
why they have all these rituals to help the spirit move.
To help the spirit move on while we burn the body. That's why we burn our bodies. Yeah. The old Apache Indians, they were called savages because they would massacre the bodies. To completely cover the body in blood. Because they believed they were bad spirits. They didn't want them to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So they covered the body in blood.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time that the blood died and, you know, and finally dissipated, it was too late, the spirit had died. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the American Indians believed. Eh? Mm-hmm. So when they killed a bad person, a bad spirit, they massacred the body. They covered the body in blood, in their own blood. Yeah.
And people think it's like cruel.
And people think we're just savages, but no, we weren't.
You basically know the philosophy behind that, and that's why you do it.
That's why they were doing it. Yeah.
So that spirit leaves the body quickly.
Yeah. So it's trapped in the body and cannot carry on there because it's a bad spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know they just believed at that point in time. It's the same as the scalping. We never started scalping.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. The Americans did, because they would get a dollar a head for an Indian. You don't take the whole body back. You just take the scalp. Hey, they'd be hanging on the back of the horse. We never started that. We just done it because we thought it was their culture. So we tried to pass it on for them. We done what they done. Yeah. They scalped us, so we took the whole top of their heads off and sent them back. Hey, but you know, we first introduced them with peace. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Columbus started the atrocities. Eh?
Yeah,
he was the one that started. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, said that we would make fine slaves. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
We soon found out that we were never going to bow down to that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that wasn't going to happen. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Never. And unfortunately, yeah, it took us down to 2%. And so I have my history right up to then, and I have a fair bit of history since then.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know what's going on now, many before I go to America.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'll be going over there with no knowledge, and mm-hmm. that can't be good.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go over there
with
the proper knowledge. And I will never bring white men into my culture, even though I've lived white men's life. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So I will probably never claim my status, but I know that I need to go,
mm-hmm.
because I've got knowledge for them.
Mm-hmm.
I've got stuff to pass on, and I've always known that. I've known that my whole life, that I've got things to pass on, that the children that could even be older than me
mm-hmm.
need to hear,
mm-hmm.
which is an amazing thing, but that is how it works. I'm an older spirit than they may be in age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a very old spirit.
So when you came back, like for the fifth time, you just mentioned, and do you still remember what was the purpose that you came back?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about that?
I remember the decision of coming back, and it was when I was about 18, 19, the dreams got stronger and stronger, mm-hmm. and I started to remember clearly, of why I come back. You go through a very funny stage where the confusion is almost put you into insanity, because it is so powerful.
Yep.
You rather make it or you don't, and I made it, I made it. I understood that it wasn't that I was anything special or anything. It's just that when I pass, the strength of my spirit, so I won't pull out of this life until I know that my spirit has hit its full power,
mm-hmm.
full power. There's no point in coming back, Every year I got older, the more I understood about the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the spirit still is born. You're born as an infant. You're not born as some super intelligent person.
No.
You have to learn this and develop this as your life goes on. Yes. But as you learn it and develop it.
You still retain a lot of things that you learned in the past.
Absolutely,
Because the times have changed, environment has changed.
Yeah.
And you have to adapt.
Absolutely.
According to that.
That's right. And your spirit's put to the test again.
Yeah.
And then only as you get older and wiser through your life as a spirit, you start to remember the previous lives and thinking like, hang on, I've been here before.
Yep, they're all that.
Yeah. And so you can jump. You can jump sections of a spiritual gaining. You know, you can jump. So you can hang on, I've been here before. I don't need to go through this process. I've done that three lives ago. So you jump it, and then it gives you the experience to go forward further.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll hit another position in your life where you go, hang on, I've already been here. I don't need to do this. Jump it again. More spiritually powerful. So when there is only 5 reincarnations, I come back for the last. You don't come back again. This is it for me. I go to the very top of the Great Spirit.
So what's the purpose that you came back?
I came back because I thought that I had more to offer and I was powerful enough to withstand it. Everything is thrown at you in your fifth reincarnation. I've had everything thrown at me. It would have broke the average person.
The challenges are like huge.
Phenomenal. Have been thrown at me with everything. Illness, meningitis at 2 weeks old, that type of thing. Like, it's had everything thrown at me to test my spirit. And it has never looked like breaking. I've never broken. I've just got more powerful and more powerful. And they've thrown more at me and more at me and more at me. And I've just got more and more powerful. Stood up stronger, dug my heels in deeper. And I've realized now what this was all about. And it wasn't about experience. It wasn't about anything other than how powerful your spirit can actually become. And I obviously wasn't satisfied in my last life. I didn't think I'd reach my peak. Craig is happy in his fourth spirit. He's got no intentions of coming any further.
He's already dead while yet alive.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he's gone as far as he's going. He's completely made his decision with mankind, with spirituality, as far as he wishes to learn. Anything that Craig's learning now is he's a fourth spirit. He's got no intention of coming back. He's already decided inside himself. I knew in my last life I was coming back. I hadn't learned enough. I was going to the very top of the Great Spirit.
In my religion, they say that you have to take multiple births, and it can be anything. You can be born an animal, insect, or a man, or a ghost, or whatever, depending on whatever you have done in your past lives.
Yes, yeah.
So a spirit takes births multiple times. It can be millions of times. It happens all the time. It only stops when it realizes its source.
And
it becomes one with God. That's all they said.
Yeah.
It means that when the person dies, he or she doesn't have any wish.
There's
complete emptiness inside.
Yeah.
Before death, they already die in the life.
Yeah.
The desires die. Once the desire is gone, the person is dead.
That is it. Yeah.
He's living dead.
Yeah.
He's just like biding his time, and when the time comes, he's very peaceful and he just goes.
Yeah.
That's what is belief in our culture.
So
that only happens when you have realized all the things that you need to realize. You achieve your potential. You have done everything that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
When you're fed up.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you are fed up of this world and all those things. Yeah. There's nothing for me.
Yeah. So that's when we believe that's between our lives.
Yep.
Three, you have no choice. So you have to be reincarnated three times. But the choice of the fourth and fifth, that's when that decision is made in our culture.
So in Hinduism, they say that in Vedic astrology, it's mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it directly, but it says a man is of three temperaments.
Yep.
The first one is Rakshas. It means a demon type.
Yep.
The second one is in Manushya, like a human.
Yep.
And fourth one is like a dev, like an angel. So man has three possibilities. So when the spirit is born, that's my understanding, when the spirit is born as a human at the first time, it has a lot of demonic tendencies. It wants to do things his or her way. And they create a lot of trouble for themselves and for others.
Absolutely.
But they're learning. And in the second, they have achieved something and they know. And the second time when they come as a human, they are much milder
and
calm than the first one. But they still have a lot to learn.
Yes.
And when they go to the third one, when they have a third birth, then they like basically their temperament and their behavior is like an angel.
Yes, yes.
So they have learned everything and this is their final stage, and if they make it big,
yeah,
they like, if they achieve liberation after that, they don't have to come back.
No, no, which is exactly the same as our belief.
Yep.
It's three reincarnations. Yep. And we believe with the animal, we believe that we all have a totem.
Yes.
That we live to.
Yep.
I know that I'm a billy goat.
Billy goat.
Billy goat.
What's that?
Just a goat. Top of the hill. Hey, I got up here looking down, laughing at the others, knowing they can't get to where I am. I've always known that. You know, I remember in my last life, a very old chief, it could have been at decision time. I don't know when it was said to me, but I remember it being said to me.
Mm-hmm.
Two son, they said, there are two dogs inside of you, a good dog and a bad dog.
Mm-hmm.
The bad dog is always picking on the good dog. Hey.
Yes.
Which one survives? And I said, whichever one I feed the most.
Yes, that's what it is.
And they said, wrong, they're killing each other.
They're killing each other all the time.
Yeah, they're killing each other.
So what does it mean?
I had to come back to this life to work it out. Yeah. Yeah.
So it means the good and bad cross each other all the time.
All the time.
And ultimately you have to go above good and bad.
Yeah, I have to. You have to.
That's what it is.
You have to. And you have to do it. Remain close to the Great Spirit.
Yep.
I allowed the good dog to remain close to the Great Spirit. I suppressed the bad dog. I had to come back this life to learn that. The difference between one of our commandments in be honest and truthful at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they use two different words for what appears to be the same thing?
It's not.
But it's not. Honesty is telling the truth, hey?
Yep.
It's not. It's two different things. Right? I could buy this phone off you now for somebody else for $100, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I could remove the cover,
mm-hmm,
and then hand it back to you and say, can you just give me that phone back again, Manny? And you give me the phone back again,
mm-hmm,
and I sell it to the person for the $100 of the cover missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's exactly how I got it off Manny for $100. But it was the second time. Hey, not the first time. So I told the truth, but I was dishonest.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so there is a difference.
There's a difference.
And I didn't understand that at the end of my last life.
In Sikhism, they say is that truthful living is higher than truth.
Absolutely.
That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah. Which is very, very much the same. Yeah. It's exactly the same. Yeah. Honest and truthful. Yeah.
Yep.
I had to
and
understand
also
that.
That's something similar to your good dog and bad dog. In Sikhism, it's mentioned in our scriptures, in our Guru Granth, we call it the living God, that throughout the universe, it's the same force, same energy, like God is all throughout the universe, in humans, in all the creatures, in everything, even in the material world, he's there.
Yeah.
He's there in the good, he's there in the bad.
Yeah.
So whatever he does himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of the time people don't realize that.
They don't realize that.
And they're just stuck in their goodness or badness.
Yeah, yeah.
And once they go above this, then their journey starts.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they start moving towards this liberation thing and all that.
Because we believe the Great Spirit will never put more of a burden on my shoulders than I can't handle.
Yeah. Hey,
that's what we believe, eh? It, as bad as it may seem at times, it won't be any more than I can't withstand, eh? Yeah, I'm powerful enough to.
In Islam also it's the same.
It's the same. Yeah, 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 yeah. Whatever's put
like
on me.
These guys from Pakistan, I talk to them about Islam and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they say the same thing.
They say the same thing, eh? Yeah, yeah.
If you can't handle it, the God won't give you.
Won't give it to you, no. So the Great Spirit will never burden me with more than I can withstand, eh? Yeah. And when you start to realize that, it makes a big difference in your life.
It is,
yeah. And it took me five lives to get there, eh? But my spirit is very powerful, very strong. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in no hurry to get off the planet. Eh? It'll come when it comes, eh? But at least I know. I actually believe it's going to take me a long time to get to the Great Spirit when I start my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be propping people up all the way. I'll be propping spirits up all the way before I even reach my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? You know, from the time of death when my spirit is released, I believe it takes me a long time to get to the Great Spirit. My journey is a long journey. I don't believe it's a short one by any means, because I've got a lot of spirits to pop up along the way, to educate them, to, are you coming back for the fourth time? Helping them along the way before my final destination. That's what I believe, Manny, very powerfully.
I just have another question, like, we're talking about the spirit and the lessons that the spirit has to learn. So, because you have been into this for a long time and you're much more aware than me. Just tell me, like, if a spirit has learned its lesson in relation to a specific sort of like environment or a country or a state or family or relationships. Once the lesson is learned, what's the next one? Like, what does the spirit do? Does it move it stays there? And
it's what I was trying to explain before. Like, what we would say, we'd remembered from a time before. It moves on. It can skip. You don't have to learn A, B, C again because you already know it. Whether you realized you knew it or not, straight away you understand that you know it, so you can move on. Your spirit can grow. Without that knowledge or that memory or wisdom is our biggest word.
There's
wisdom. It's the wisdom to move on. How fast we can grasp what's happened, how fast we can understand it, and how fast we can move on. That is the wisdom. And that is the power of the fourth and fifth spirit. So, which I know that when the blue star comes again.
So blue star is the time of apocalypse.
It's the apocalypse again. 65,000 years. Every 65,000 years.
It comes.
It comes. 65,000 years ago it come and it wiped out the dinosaurs, you know. And 130,000 years ago it come and it split the planet apart. And so forth. I've been taught this by my spiritual leaders, I've been taught this, every 65,000 years, it falls again on the number seven between the two most powerful seasons. I know this, which would be summer, winter to summer. The two most powerful seasons, on the number seven, the sun will fall and it will not rise for 65,000 years. 65 years.
There's some sort of like event that happens.
It happens,
that blocks the sun.
That blocks it. And they're just starting to talk about it now, the planet X. This has happened many times before. It takes 65,000 years for the negative planet to do its orbit.
We've so known about it.
All the others, it's the negative.
What's the name of that planet?
They call it Planet X. Some call it New Bride, some call it whatever, you know. We call it the Blue Star. Because it's a negative planet, so it's going the opposite way to the universe at the moment.
Okay.
And it takes 65,000 years to do its orbit. Because it's an oblong orbit.
It like orbits around the sun?
The opposite way to all the other planets, because for every positive you must have a negative.
Okay.
The planet is so large, it nearly is the size of all the planets in this solar system now. But it's going the opposite way and it's the negative.
Okay.
That's the power that keeps it all rotating. And it comes every 65,000 years, the American Indians believe, because we've passed our knowledge down. I believe the year will be 2027. That's what I believe.
Did you learn it from somewhere? Or
no,
just
I dreamt it. I dreamt it in a vision. And wrote it down. And the amazing thing was, Manny, that when I wrote this down, as it fell on the number seven, I wrote down my whole prophecy and encountered the pages, and there were seven pages. And there were seven paragraphs in each page about me even realizing that I'd done it. I wrote it so fast, you know, like what happens, again, mankind survives, Very, very minimal amount of mankind survives. The fourth and fifth spirits are the ones that keep mankind alive.
It's mentioned in the prophecies of Nostradamus.
Is it really?
They say that this great war that's happening.
Yeah.
It'll end in 2027.
Was it? Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't even know. But there was a lot
of calamity during this time.
Wow. And I didn't even know. From
2017 onwards,
yeah,
there are going to be like a few big things that we're going to
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. And I've never read that.
Yeah.
And I wrote it and gave Craig a copy
of
the prophecy. And Craig's got the prophecy and he's read through it and he's like, my God, hey, where did you get that from? I said, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and wrote it. Hey, that's simple. I just wrote it, man. Hey, I said, but I didn't throw them up in the air and make them all, you know. Like, I wrote this properly. Hey, that between the fourth and fifth, between the two powerful seasons, hey, the fourth and fifth spirits are the only ones that can save as many as you can. I said to Craig, I said, you just save as many as you can. Hey, hey, with your knowledge. The most powerful people on the planet now, the presidents, the almighties that are out there, aren't the ones of the power to help.
They can't survive
it. They can't survive it.
They're the ones who are making the trouble.
Yeah, it's the fourth and fifth spirits, the only ones of the wisdom that can prop up the other ones to for mankind to survive again.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened before, it'll happen again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it will come again and it will continue to happen.
So according to your like belief system, like where does the spirit comes from basically?
We believe the spirit is born in you. It's as a new spirit. You're first born on the planet with your new spirit. That's your first life. Hey?
Mm-hmm.
So your spirit comes from the great spirit. Hey?
So what you say the great spirit, it basically means the God.
The God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an entity of spirits that is tested for three lives, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Joins a great entity of spirits,
mm-hmm.
makes the spirit greater, eh? It's a great spirit, many, many spirits in it, eh?
So what are the qualities of this great spirit?
The great spirit is what we believe, eh? The close, we keep it close because the great spirit is the most powerful thing ever known. It's hundreds and thousands, millions of spirits have joined this for millions of years. Tested, run, left in purgatory, or white man says hell, whatever. Mm-hmm. Flames, or however they wish to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
We just join the great entity of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
It is not one spirit, it is many spirits. Mm-hmm. That have done their lives, have done their reincarnations, have hit their powerful level. Where they go into that great spirit depends on how powerful that spirit turns out at the end of decisions. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of all this, hey, however powerful I turn out, many is where I'll end up on the great spirit. Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I believe. Hey.
And so
I
believe in your culture, there's no like nothing like heaven or hell or anything.
There's no heaven or hell. No, there's just it's where you're
just a journey. Just a journey. Back.
That's exactly what it is. A journey. Yeah. And we don't speak of the dead once they die,
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to bring them back from their journey.
Okay.
So we don't mourn death because we know that they're on their way. They're heading so to the great spirit.
There's no loss or anything.
There's no loss. There's no loss. They've just carried on. They're on their way to the great spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How long it takes them to do their journey is it's beyond our understanding. Hey, you know, I just know that I believe it's going to take me a long time to get to the great spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a fifth reincarnation, a very powerful spirit. I need to still help them spirits along the way, make a decision. Yeah. That's what I believe the great spirit is. And that's why I've kept it so close. Yeah. It's helped me through everything in my life. At the times of where I've felt weak, I've had to call on the great spirits while I've stayed close to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just help me make the right decision on which way to, because there's always two paths to choose. Yeah. And it's pretty easy to say, I would have done it that way once you've watched someone screw it up. doing it that way, eh? Yeah, so, yeah, I've always tried to keep the great spirit close to help me with my decisions, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm the one that has to make the decision,
because
I'm the one that is spirit too. It's growing, eh? And growing. I'm not scared of death, and I'm not scared of living. I'm not scared of either. Eh? Well, the time will come. When the time will come, I will move on. Eh? And I'm not scared of either. I'm not scared of how long I stay here. I'm quite satisfied at what I've done. Eh? If I died tomorrow, Minnie, I'll die a happy man.
You will have no regrets.
I have no regrets. Eh? None. I've achieved what I needed to achieve. Eh? To go.
So, what's the future of your people over there in like America?
I don't know. That's the only reason I haven't raced over there. Yeah. I know quite a fair bit. Look, I know we own Las Vegas. Hey, I know we don't pay tax. I know we're one of the richest money-wise cultures on earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows what we're worth because they don't know anything about us. Yeah. It's just very secretive. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, okay, they've allowed me to become a chief.
Mm-hmm.
And I am half white. I mean, we can't take that out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the first one in history to become an Otolaga Lakota chief. Hey,
a half caste.
And being a half caste, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm the first one in history. But they obviously see what I see. Hey. The white person inside of me has not retarded me one bit. Mm-hmm. I have always been American Indian. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
From birth, it's in my heart. It's in my blood. It's every part of me. Hey. And by having this half white man in me, it's made me a more powerful chief. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
More powerful than I could ever imagine. Eh? Mm-hmm. So I know that when I go to America, even if it's only for a short time at the end of my life, it's going to be, I'm going to change history. Eh? I'm going to change things. It's going to be for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't go until it is. Eh? Until I know that it's for the better, I won't go.
Mm-hmm.
Until I know my purpose. I have to know my purpose. And then I'll just take it day by day. I'll just follow it as it goes. We don't believe that prophecy is already wrote or it's going to be written. We believe it's getting wrote as it's done. As it's done. Yeah.
That's what it is.
You know, the best way to predict your own future is to create it.
Yep.
And that is the end of it. You know, it's getting wrote as it's done. It's all in your hands and it's getting wrote as it's done. Yeah. It's that simple, man. It really is.
It all depends upon your decisions, the choices you make.
Exactly. Your choices and your decisions and your wisdom. Your wisdom in making them decisions. Yep. Hey? Do you make your decision as a selfish person just for yourself? Or do you make your decision with many in mind?
Many in mind, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know? So when I...
For a greater benefit.
Exactly. Hey? You know? So that when I'm putting my proposals into the hospital and taking my time to say that you need to sort out, I know this is an Australia-wide ban for smoking in these areas,
mm-hmm.
but you are pushing people onto the streets at 7:30 in the morning when children are walking past.
Yep.
Your decisions aren't very well made here. They're not very well made here.
There should be specific places.
There should be, absolutely. So I will fight that until I die. Because we have to protect the young ones, hey?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not protecting the young ones when you're pushing people with passive smoking out onto footpaths, mm-hmm. hey? Where children are walking to school. Mm-hmm. That's not very clever to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I may never achieve this.
In your case, you have to do it because it was a medicine.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's
not that you want to do it, it's just because
of the health
problems.
Yeah, absolutely, because I just want to protect the children. I want to protect humanity, is a nice way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that till I die. Mm-hmm.
So you don't do the normal smoking, it's like marijuana, specifically medicinal.
Just specifically the passive smoking of cigarettes we know kills people.
Yes.
And these people didn't choose to smoke. Yeah. Them children walking past, if their mum going to school didn't know that they are breathing in nicotine, passive smoking, causing cancer. And yet a hospital that's supposed to fix people is telling the people to smoke down on the footpaths where the children are walking. I don't find this to be very clever. No. And the whole process of it. There's one of the small things inside of me that needs to fight. They think they're
making it tough for people to smoke.
Yeah.
But then they are pushing people.
The innocent. Yeah.
And others get affected by this.
Absolutely. And of all places, a hospital where we're supposed to heal people. Yeah.
And it's not being done.
It doesn't make sense, does it? It does not make sense, eh? So we'll put the most dangerous things possible is we'll... put all the smokers out there where the innocent people walk past, where it can be affected. That's not very clever to me. It's certainly not wise. We'll also put the smokers that are addicted to this have this addiction, hey, it's not their fault. They're encouraged when they were younger that this was a fantastic thing to do. Hey, the Marlboro man, he was up on billboards everywhere. You know, this was a really good thing to do, was to smoke cigarettes. So we're now putting them out on footpaths where if a car is going to roll or lose control, it will could possibly run someone over, hey, because they're out on the footpath smoking all the time, hey. The logic behind any of it, I do not understand, because we're not just talking about this one hospital. We're talking about the hospitals right around the whole of Australia. All has the same policy. If you go stand out on that footpath and smoke where the children walk past, hey, and the ones who don't smoke right next to the road, so there is an accident, it can run you over. And we're a hospital.
I just have another question, like, in your culture, like, in your people, like, is this like drugs and alcohol, smoking and all these? It's like a common thing. It's
what I've like been, what I've been kind of taught,
or something.
What I've been taught by my grandmother years ago, and what I've learned and believe inside myself from my wisdom, and this question still has to be answered to me by the wiser Indians, that I have to ask them. When we introduced tobacco to the world, which the American Indians did, was the plan to cull the world?
It doesn't make any sense.
Was the American Indians trying to...
you say that American Indians were the first who used tobacco and then...
Absolutely. Spread all over the world. They were the first to use tobacco. They sent tobacco to the Queen with Christopher.
Okay, so it comes from there.
It comes from American Indians, only the chief decides. They call it the peace pipe. That's what tobacco has been used
in India for like... hundreds of years.
That's right, exactly. But it's the American Indians that spread it across the world.
And British cultivated it like in India.
Yeah. Because when Christopher Columbus come and all the rest of them, they gave it to the, I can't remember who they actually gave it to, but they said they gave it to the English to give to the Queen. And it used to say on all packets of cigarettes, by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. It used to say on there, and so I have to ask my elders.
Your culture was using it like elders and all that.
I've always used tobacco, but obviously in small proportions.
Did people used to die because of that?
Yeah, we don't die. We don't die even die of lupus. One in three have lupus.
Still don't die.
I still don't die. One in three American Indians have lupus.
But so many people die all over the world.
All over the world of lupus and tobacco, and we've obviously got it controlled. But this is what I need to learn today. I know what it was 100 years ago, but I need to learn what it's like today.
Is it one of the like schemes to control the population or something?
That's what I need to find out myself. Because I know that we introduced it to the world.
Well, what's happening in Australia and also in some other countries?
Yeah.
Especially in Punjab, in India?
Yeah.
Because of alcohol and drugs?
Yeah.
People are dying?
Yeah.
And the whole generations are getting corrupted.
Yeah.
And they're physically weak.
Yeah.
They say, the doctors and experts say that in a few, maybe 5-10 years, like Punjabis will become impotent.
Yeah.
Once they become impotent, then...
Yeah, absolutely. Then
depopulation.
Yeah. See, we've already gone beyond that stage. Yeah.
And in this country...
Yeah.
They use all these drugs and alcohol to contain the Aboriginal population.
Making
people dependent on welfare and giving them drugs and alcohol and making them addicted to these things.
Yeah, exactly.
So they never know about their culture or never like raise up a voice or whatever.
And
did the Americans did the same thing to you guys?
Oh, absolutely. To the point where we come down to 2% of our population. 2% of our population, eh? Have a seat, man.
Oh, mate, I'm gonna cruise.
Did you watch the end of the movie?
Yeah.
What did you think?
It's spastic, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking unreal.
Like nothing you've ever seen,
Nah, two angels just going...
fighting each other.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Full on.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
God made his decision. He's going to end the world. Legion. It's a very clever movie, isn't it?
Love it.
Isn't it?
Love it, bro.
Yeah, I knew you'd enjoy that. Yeah, very clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go upstairs and cook something, then go
bed. Do you want to go down and have a cigarette?
Yeah, I'll roll one.
Should we go down and have one?
If you want to, bro, or you can stay up here.
No, we're getting close to the end of our...
All right. I'll just hang out here.
Good on you, brother. You do that, and I'll be with you shortly.
Thanks, I'll be with you shortly.
So I need to ask all these questions when I get amongst my people, amongst my elders, hey? I am far from the belief that I'm the most wisest person on the planet. Mm-hmm. So there'll be people there that I... Well, I asked the 18-year-old Pakistan lad here for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, what does your God believe when pressure's right upon us?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my father told me that God will never put more of a burden on your shoulder than you can withstand. And I thought, wow, that's identical to ours.
Yep.
Hey, hey. My elders that I've read about, mm-hmm. they one of their sayings is, one day we'll walk as brothers and realize that we are all worshiping the same God.
Yep, it is.
Yep. We call it Chief Seattle.
Chief Seattle. Chief Seattle is the guy who said this.
It is our God. Our God. Chief Seattle.
So Seattle means
Great Spirit.
Great Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why they have this city over there, Seattle.
Seattle.
So that's culturally, that city is like very high importance.
Very, very important. Isn't it? Yeah, Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah.
So that place is like one of your kind of like where all people rally together.
It's white men trying to understand our language,
mm-hmm.
and pulling words of it out. It's like Vegas in our culture. The most powerful thing in our culture is called supernova.
Supernova.
Yeah, supernova. And in English, that becomes supernova.
Supernova.
Yeah.
So that's your culture.
Comes from our culture. Yeah, yeah. So they've tried to understand our language. The most powerful thing is supernova.
You already know it.
And we already know it. Yeah. We already know
that. It's like the big explosion that happens when a sun dies.
Absolutely. Star dies. Yeah. And we believe that 65 years of darkness is the negative planet eclipsing the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It comes between Mercury and the sun. There is just enough room for it to reach, and that's why it's oblong.
Mm-hmm.
It does an oval-shaped orbit of the sun.
Okay.
When all the others are going around,
mm-hmm.
the negative planet that keeps the balance, which they've... I think that was only last week I seen on YouTube. You look it up, Planet X. Somebody actually got a photograph of it in the sky. But it is so big, Manny. It is massive. It doesn't come until 2027,
mm-hmm.
Before it actually starts to eclipse. And then there'll be darkness for 65 years before the sun rises again. Man will survive, but...
They say that there will be nuclear war or something.
They can also make it for 65 years. I think that's what Nostradamus predicted, wasn't it?
There'll be a nuclear war, but it actually isn't.
It's just the eclipse of the negative planet. Because for every positive, we've got a negative. It's the only way it balances. For good, we have evil.
Mm-hmm.
It all has to balance,
mm-hmm.
or it doesn't work. Hey, that's the divine plan. Hey, everything has to balance.
Yep.
Hey, or it tips off its axis. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have all these positive planets spinning all one way without a negative. Yep. It has to come.
So I just come back to the point, and this will be the last question because you have to go, and I also don't want too long.
Yeah.
We were talking about this drugs, alcohol, like epidemic in communities.
Yeah.
And you know that there is some sort of problem in your culture over there.
There was.
But now they have healed it.
We healed it because we called it fire water, alcohol.
Okay.
Our warriors were drunk. They couldn't fire their arrows straight.
Yep.
We couldn't win our wars.
Yep.
So because it was that far back into our culture,
mm-hmm.
The chief has the peace pipe.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sack on the side of him.
Okay.
With many different heads that goes onto the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
He will decide whether that's festival pipe, whether that's marriage pipe, whether that's, you know, all the... hunting pipe, peace pipe.
Mm-hmm.
It's only peace pipe known to white men. To American Indians, we know there's many different pipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same pipe. He just changes the head.
And a different tune.
And a different substance. Only the chief decides what goes in the pipe. It's only the chief. He's the only one. He has a sack on his side. You'll see in many old photographs, you see a chief who has a little sack hanging on the side. That is the heads that change on the pipe. And he decides. Peace pipe was given to white men when they first sat down with us, which was tobacco.
So you passed it on.
So we passed
it on. You passed on the Malays.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a salt wrench.
And they modified it. They modified tobacco. Because, you know, you use the intelligence thing, think there's 2 billion people smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
There's not enough. There's, you couldn't grow big enough plantations to cultivate that. It has to be synthetic. Yeah. It has to be man-made. So that they've altered it. They've altered it themselves. But, you know, we did put it out there.
You guys have got your culture cured of this problem. Yeah,
absolutely.
At the moment, it's not like a big problem.
It's never been a problem because the chief has always controlled it.
Okay.
And we
know. So he allowed it to happen and ultimately he made a decision and got this problem rid of.
Sat down with the peace pipe. No, nothing illicit, just the feeling of smoking tobacco makes you feel good. But not to abuse it.
Okay.
It's been abused. If you abuse any other drug in our culture, you will be renegaded. You're a renegade.
And what does that mean?
You're a renegade Indian. You're no longer part
they
of our tribe.
They just kick you out.
You're out. You're gone. And if it's a chief, he is then called a booker.
Booker means?
Evil spirit.
Evil spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you kill him or you just get rid of him?
Scared of him, pushed out. And he can go either way. Booker. Beware of the booker. So I, as a white chief, there's no such thing as black magic or dark witches or anything like that. It's just a white witch practicing bad magic. That's all it is.
That's what it is.
Because the magic come from the American Indians first.
Yep. It's the knowledge. Started.
It's the knowledge.
Yep.
All started with the American Indians is magic. Which we don't believe is very magic.
And they also call it science or whatever.
That's right, eh? Yep. And we don't believe in any of that. We don't believe it's magic. Mm-hmm. We just believe it's the power of our wisdom.
Yep.
Yeah, which is completely different. We're very old.
Okay, John, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Manny.
And you can enjoy your smoke.
Yes, and thank you very much for being interested.
Thanks a lot.
And any more I can help you with, I'll be more than happy to.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Thank you, man.